All right, guys, here we are once again.
Again,
here at Comic City 2 in Madison, Tennessee.
Son of Maddie.
Geeks of the Square Table.
Not
nerds of the Square Table.
That would have been hilarious if we got it wrong twice in a row.
I thought about it. I extra thought about it. And I was like, you know when you think about something too hard, you mess it up on purpose. And I almost did that right now. So with me this week, folks, I have...
Comer!
Crimson Chris.
Jesse.
Taylor.
Larry.
And I'm Jules, and we're going to get this started. We're going to talk about how nerds are taking over TV with The Walking Dead and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I think we've already done it. I think we've taken over.
Taken over completely?
Yeah.
Well, I think if you look at any of the TV shows out there now.
The
advertising market is, you know, aiming for people without kids, you know, right. And these, early 20s disposable income, and... That is, seems to be the core age group of the geeks. So that's what they've been aiming on. I mean, look.
I've got two kids, so I don't have any disposable.
5 years ago, you would have never thought any kind of drama. They would never have scheduled it on Sundays during football season.
And Walking Dead knocked it out of the park.
Highest rated show last Sunday.
And baseball playoffs it owned.
Yeah. It had more. The premiere had more than the Breaking Bad finale.
Dude, wow! Crazy.
Guys, I'm gonna
buy
say
six
this
million too. More.
Yeah,
I'm gonna say this, and it might be blasphemous.
Go ahead,
for Larry.
Blasphemous.
Is that anything like blasphemous?
Someone Google.
No. Blasphemous. It's different.
What a blasphemer does.
Is that a new character?
New character that we're making up right now.
Blasphemous. Dude, that is Doctor Strange villain.
Yeah, I think a Constantine villain would be great.
There you go.
Yeah. Blasphemous.
All right, check this out. So we all watched the Walking Dead episode, right?
Of course.
Okay. Yep. So I watched it twice. And I'm gonna say this, and hear me out. I watched it.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah. Oh, dude.
A little bit.
Don't
maybe.
Even turn on this podcast without expecting something to be spoiled.
Yeah, exactly.
We do that all the time.
So I watched it, and I was not really impressed.
What?
But two things happened in this episode that I did really like.
Okay.
I did really like. One thing, Rick's performance with the crazy lady.
Oh, excellent.
That scene was amazing.
I like how he looks off into, like, nothing.
Yeah.
Like, when he's talking to her, like, he looks off. He's, like, not looking in her in the eye. He, like, looks off like he's...
Yeah, I love
Disney,
the
but
well, that's
still,
you don't look at crazy, man.
The three questions.
Never look crazy.
The three questions that really I actually agree with you.
The three questions are, how many zombies have you killed? How many people have you killed?
And why? And the fact that the lady answered the questions, I really like that.
Yes.
Now, I agree, this was not one of their strongest, most action-packed episodes or whatever.
And it's not even
But this is really, this was a teaser episode. There was a lot of stuff that
so
really... I mean, there's so many characters they had to introduce and just set the way to introduce more characters.
And kill some characters.
Yeah.
Immediately establish that they could kill anybody in it.
Yeah.
And that was, I think, what they did with this episode. It was the Chris Claremont, I could kill anybody at any time episode.
Yeah.
Don't think everybody's safe still.
But the thing about that is it's kind of moot because there's so many damn characters now.
Right.
They can kill 100 characters and none of our favorites are going to pass.
Or will they?
That's the thing. Maybe they will, maybe they won't.
Okay, double spoiler alert.
Gone.
Anyone who's read ahead in the comics knows a lot of the deaths that are coming.
Yeah.
Okay, hold up. Now, I...
Distinguish.
Larry,
distinguish.
There is no relation between the comic book and the TV
Besides
show.
That,
I am so sick of this. I hear it all the time. Now, okay.
They're two completely different properties.
There are a lot of the characters... aren't even the same characters.
Tyrese
Tyrese was in the comic.
But not at the same time. He came
he
first.
He would have been, he would have been right after they left the farm.
Exactly.
They would have found him.
Exactly.
All right. And not to mention, he looks totally different
completely
in the show.
Andrew is like 10 years older.
In the comic book, Tyrese is a badass.
Yeah.
All right. I'm not saying he isn't a badass in the show.
He is not a badass.
But he is not in command of his group.
He's
Tyrese
timid.
Was the leader of his group in the comic book.
Yeah, but I'm going to argue with you there because he's not a badass in the show.
No. He's not.
He's a wimp.
He is.
He's scared.
He does feel kind
of
whipped.
These kids are easier looking at these zombies walking around or having an easier time than Tyrese.
Advantage is they did they introduced another powerful female character.
Tyrese is a squeeze.
Well, not a squeeze. No, the leader squeeze. Of his group.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah. Tyrese right. Squeeze is actually the mom from Teen Wolf, just in case you guys didn't know.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's totally
I
Scott
think you're
McCall's
the only
mom.
One watching that.
I watch probably, it. I watch it. Me well, and my sister watch it.
Yeah, okay. There's it's actually, three people
she doesn't care about marriage.
I've heard it was actually yeah. really good. It's pretty good. Well, go ahead. Let's right.
The second thing, I know we got off, but the second thing that I liked yeah. about this episode was everybody talks about the whole raining zombies thing. What I liked about it is that it gave me an excuse to really want a black character to die for once. I really didn't like. I really didn't like the alcoholic.
I just thought it was nice that you talk about traditionally the black. You think the black guy's gonna die,
yeah.
And then oh no, we're gonna kill the little white kid. Yeah.
And that yeah. white kid, he's the guy that always dies in everything. He dies in like, yeah. what was he? Nightmare on Elm Street, yeah, and yep. Jennifer's Body. That kid yeah. dies in everything.
I guess you got Sean Bean syndrome going.
Yeah. Oh. Well, Sean Bean actually made an impact on the shows he was in before yeah. he died.
He usually has an important character.
And I'm going to ask, a question about The Walking Dead. Does anybody agree with me? Like, you probably, I don't know if you do or not, but does anybody agree with me that Daryl's character has gotten too cool?
Yeah. I don't think Daryl's character is too cool. I think Daryl is doing what Daryl does, and everyone is like, because it's the zombie apocalypse, and Daryl does work against the zombie apocalypse, that everyone's like, yeah, Daryl's really cool. And
Daryl's the kid, like, you know, the show's Rick. Like,
you know, the kid,
I could. In the show, Rick could die and I could not care about it. But if Daryl dies, I'm be upset. The way yeah. in the comic book, if Rick died, I would have raged at some point
yeah.
in time.
I don't. I think it's anybody could die.
You see, now I really was rooting for Rick just to take a bullet to the head.
Oh, absolutely.
There's a certain point
in the show,
in the comic book.
Oh no, I
really wanted Rick yeah. to just.
But you remember in the comic book, Rick goes through some crap because he went through shit in the show too. He's one of the worst characters.
But one thing that pissed me off about the show and the differences between the show and the comic book, the phone. He gets one phone call, you know, and it goes over two episodes. Now that phone call, that is an element from the comic
yes.
book,
yep.
but it happens after the prison, and it goes to this day. His character is still carrying around that phone, talking to dead people.
In the yep. comic.
In the comic.
I don't think you can have crazy that long in the show and have it be meaningful. Because he's got so much shit to worry about, Rick. He's the leader of everybody, quote-unquote leader. So, he's got Carl. He's got the baby. He's old lady's gone. He's still trying to deal with everything. Everyone's looking up to him.
Well, that brings up a kind of right. a short point here.
He stepped down on the leadership role.
So. But one of the differences between telling a story in a comic book and telling a story in a TV show, TV shows I don't think can last for as long as a run on a comic book can. How many seasons do they have before they have to stop the show? Because before it gets stale.
I know, I'm not sure.
I'm thinking they have at least three or four more.
Well, probably. No, but
and then they probably have about five more with the spinoff.
Yeah.
Actually, they could go a lot further than five.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, they could go at nine.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, Smallville went for 10 seasons. I think
five.
The Walking
Dead needed five.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think they could go for another.
Simpsons is on season 26.
27.
I think that they've
got 27.
And how many people bitch about The Simpsons?
Exactly.
How many people bitch about how stale
and people still watch it?
But how many people go back and still say, oh, those Conan written shows or that era of The Simpsons is still the best? Is Walking Dead going to continue forever and say, oh, yeah, it was great when Shane was still walking around, but since then it went way downhill? No, I just don't know if it's going to happen.
But I mean, if Kirkman has anything to do with it at all?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. How much money does he need? I mean,
just one more check.
That's why he wants that spinoff, so he can stop paying Tony Moore for the rights and properties of the characters
that he Adler's getting paid in that mix, too.
Is he really? Yeah. That's ridiculous. Yeah. That's ridiculous.
Guys, I know that we talked about this before, but one difference between the show and the comic that bothers me and that has bothered me is in the comic, Rick was one of the first main characters that got maimed.
Yep.
Okay.
And that hasn't happened in the show, and I'm like, is it going to happen?
You mean getting maimed or Rick getting maimed?
Well, I mean,
Rick is not going to get maimed like the same way as he did in the comic book.
Obviously.
One of the differences that Kirkman, I said, right, about this is going to have nothing to do with the comic book. I'm going to write it in such a way that if you read the comic book, you're not going to know what
happens. You can enjoy both, yeah.
Yes.
All right.
And I think that was his
He's
main
also
book.
On record, even in the back of the comic book, he does a section called Letter Hacks,
yeah.
where he's actually said that he regrets cutting off Rick's hand in the comic book.
But he did it, and they're probably just going to do something. something really ridiculous and freaking cut off Daryl's arm.
No, the homage. That was you want to see somebody's hand go? Here goes Meryl.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was the fan service.
Somebody loses a hand, guys.
I can only do one hand dismemberment.
Another big switch from the comic book. Dale, he lasts for a long time. Amy and Andrea were both college students.
Yes.
Yep. The same age, yep. Both in their early 20s. Andrea and Dale still hook up in the comic book.
Yeah.
But it's an old man and a 20-year-old, not an old man and a 30 or 40-year-old woman.
But doesn't Dale's role in the comic is pretty much to be kind of like an anchor for voice?
Right, right. This is a role that Herschel has been taking
up. I'm just saying, it's like I'm holding up a mirror, like a twisted mirror to the comic.
Right, right.
And that's what it's supposed to be, exactly.
Yeah. Now, Herschel, his whole role in there is teaching them how to farm in the comic book.
I think it's more than that, though, because Rick tells no one about the chick he finds in the woods in the first episode.
Right, right.
For
in the TV show, Herschel is becoming the moral compass of the show.
It's like his therapist now.
And they did hint at him dropping leadership, and they did a little bit of that setup.
Yeah.
But, you know, that is a big deal. Coming to that, you know, there's a whole 6-issue arc of Rick snapping.
Exactly.
Well,
there were at least three episodes last season where Rick was going.
Right,
snapping.
But they've made it a sideline.
Yeah.
They've taken various things he wants to hint from these comic books, and instead of where these little side arcs or entire 6-issue runs, they're just sideline stories and really accelerating the pace.
Speaking of comics and TV shows, let's not get off Walking Dead.
But I'm going to ask you guys a question since we're still on Walking Dead. Who is your favorite character in the comic and then as opposed to the show? Because it's probably different.
Oh, no, it's the same for me.
Is it the same?
Glenn.
Yeah, Glenn
is my favorite character. Glenn was the best. It's one of the reasons, spoiler alert, if you read the comic book, it's the reason I dropped off the comic book. Yeah. Glenn was the best character they had going.
Yeah.
I wanted them to kill Rick for a while. You could have had Glenn take over the group with Rick dead.
Episode one of this, I agree with them
killing Glenn.
No, it was
but,
the
worst thing. Because Glenn became a pussy.
What?
Yes.
Tyrese is a pussy in the new one. They're keeping him.
He won't last.
Well, though. All right. In the comic book, Glenn went from a badass that could get anything, dodge, and as soon as he became a parent, he was afraid to do anything.
Yeah.
He was afraid to take chances.
Yeah.
That's when he died.
You know
when
what?
He stopped.
As soon as
after the baby and Laura goes, Rick became such a pussy to me, I couldn't continue to let him be the leader.
Yeah.
And even after Glenn dies, Rick literally drops off to me completely.
And in the show, they're talking about...
I don't feel like that's okay, because Rick becomes ultra pussy for a
Rick
long time.
Rick is not the leader in the comic book.
No.
I mean, he comes back and he assumes the leadership role from time to time, but he's not...
No.
They're just telling the story from his
point of view. There is an air of leadership around him.
We're talking about female genitalia, but only one person has answered the question.
What?
Who's our favorite character?
Glenn. I'll say
Glenn. Is it for everybody?
If I had to pick two different ones, it'd be Tyrese and what's his name? Not Merle's brother.
Daryl.
But I love Merle. I wish Merle would have hung out.
Yeah. It was a good character for the show.
I really like that.
But he was too volatile for a...
Oh, I loved it. I thought that was the great part.
But to play part of the team wouldn't have worked.
Wouldn't have worked.
Well, that's the whole thing. He was playing part of the team when he went to Woodbury.
Yeah.
So what's up?
Only because he had somebody that was more ruthless than him.
Exactly. Yes. So what you're saying is if Rick would have been more ruthless, if Rick would have been Shane... It would have been fine. But I think that's kind of the way... Kirkman wants to play it off. The writers
but
want to play that off each
Rick other.
If
Rick would have been Shane's character in the TV show would have killed him off.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right.
So let's go back to the show, the first episode of the season, the end. That dude died. Are we thinking that, like, the stupid internet, in my opinion, stupid internet rumors that this kid had, that's showing that there's an airborne virus now?
No, actually, I think he had a disease.
Yeah, I think he had an aneurysm and just died. And what they're showing is they're going back to first and second.
Something like that.
They're going back to first and second season pretenses of everybody's got the virus. We're all the Walking Dead. And now we're living with old people and people who can die just from natural causes at the drop of a hat. Well, die of old age in the prison cell with some other dude. And you're dangerous. You're dangerous all of a sudden.
Mistaken.
Bam.
Now
so what do we have to do? Have to monitor
issue,
dead people?
Yes.
Monitor the living, too. Exactly.
I think they're going
burn the
to
dead.
Go...
Burn the living.
A tap right there.
Burn the living.
What kind of... Yep. You started counterproductive
well,
there.
I think what they're going to be something swine flu-ish.
Well, I don't think so.
No, because they show the pig
That's
sick.
That's true. It could be.
Here's what I'm thinking.
I feel like that would be cop-out.
There is going to be...
It's too easy.
No.
Well,
I think it's too easy to have this airborne disease that turns people into a...
No. Not
dead bodies and rot and everything else.
Oh, you're saying
all around.
All right, and also
but
there's something
that it's a
something
zombie.
That,
hold on a second. Are you saying that it's a zombie disease or it's just a disease?
It's just a disease,
and then they're dying of that disease, and then
right.
becoming a zombie.
Right.
Okay.
We're talking a prison
right.
is
that's
a
not
cold,
as much of a cop out.
Yeah, a prison right. without that's power is a cold, damp, drafty place,
like an old castle.
You know,
yes.
Breeds for disease.
You're right.
Right.
I'm sure there's not much peroxide
you saw
and
him,
bleach around.
You saw him dig out that gun. Yes. I think the source of infection, and I say swine flu-like,
because
of the pig,
right. yeah.
and it obviously can transfer.
Yeah.
But it's probably going to be something buried that they don't even realize until, oh, he's farming, he's digging a new row, and, oh, here's an inmate that got shanked and buried in that living zombie underground contaminating
the
water.
It's the Black Plague.
The gun to me seemed more like a metaphor of Rick digging up old things and trying to throw them away. Like, he dug up this old thing and saw it, and it looked valuable, but he threw it away because there was no need for it. And they even went into that when he's not carrying his gun going to check on the snares. Can we talk about how Carl was trying to name the pig and Rick told him not to name the pig? And then later on, Carl goes up to the kids naming the zombies and Carl tells the kids not to name the zombies. There's got to be some sort of metaphoric, you know, storytelling
well,
going on there, man.
I think that has to do with the whole world.
Perfect.
Get attached.
Oh, I thought it was
that's kind of like the overarching thing of the show.
Yeah, I think
losing
so, too.
Your humanity.
Yes.
You can't get attached to
why they showed the girl
these animals. You can't get
attached
to people.
But I think that's the thing that they're saying. The girl Daryl was talking to, who's old man, whose boyfriend died in Beth.
Which
she's
I
not
really,
being attached. She wasn't attached.
Bingo.
And I think that's kind of what they're getting
get
at.
Attached.
Don't you can't even get attached to humans now, dude. And they're bringing in the kids. They're teaching the kids how to not be human. In reading class, they're teaching them knife play.
Well, you notice, okay,
I don't
that's
think
that
is
something.
Different.
It's in secret.
But I think that's tying into them losing pieces
yeah,
of their humanity.
They're showing that they're all becoming monsters.
Yes.
Yeah,
they are
showing that.
Dude, we've touched on some great walks. Walking Dead shit, man. It's a deep show, man.
Show.
It deserves to get the ratings
show.
It gets,
well,
man. It is an awesome show.
You gotta
show.
Look at it this way. The Walking Dead is not the zombies.
Yeah, it's the people.
It's
yep.
the people.
It's the people.
Right.
We're gonna step off.
Let's get, because we could go on Walking Dead for 2 hours,
way
man.
Too long.
And it's one episode of this season, just one.
We're just stepping
off. We can talk about it next
week. We're
going
to talk about slowly nerds taking over television.
I'm so excited.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. got picked up for 22 episodes after 3 episodes.
Great.
And Marvel is already talking about 4 new shows.
And a miniseries.
And a miniseries.
And let me say this. Overall, I've been watching it, you know, just to keep up.
What did you think of the first 3 episodes?
I haven't seen last night's episode. But I was... They were okay. I
they
wasn't
okay.
excited. You know, I mean, they were decent.
They were campy in spots.
Right.
That's what
I mean,
people want. But it's not the same universe I left when I walked out of the theaters after seeing Captain America,
you know,
Iron Man, and Thor.
See,
and the Avengers, it's not
here's
the same
thing.
Shield.
They can't
I
do
only
that,
have
though.
Time
I mean,
to watch
show
so
has
many
to stand
shows.
On its own legs. You just can't do
but,
every
but
week.
It's
hey,
not,
look, it's Thor, guys.
But it's not standing on its own legs. Not when the first episode brings in extremists. It's not standing on its own legs. And they already brought in AIM episode 4. Brought in Graviton, who's a comic book
character.
Ripoff, brought right over from the comic books, and a member of AIM. Ian Quinn, they're talking about, and he's just a regular Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. character. He was created for the show, but they're talking about he's going to become the head of the whole AIM thing, the same way the guy from Iron Man 3 was the head of AIM.
But they have to build that there's more than just those 5 or 6. special people out there.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, that's what
so
I was trying to say.
More than just the Avengers.
So they can expand to the new movies.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you can't bring in anything from the comics. I'm saying you have to avoid as much as you can bringing stuff in from the film franchise.
Why, though? It's all the same.
No, this whole TV show is just something to spur their secondary line.
Well, then it's bullshit. I mean, then why watch it? If it's just to make something else better, why watch it? I want to see something good.
The problem is with this show, it's not at the same caliber. We are on this glut of amazing TV here lately.
Yeah.
You know, Dexter, Breaking Bad, Walking Dead. Yeah, these are amazing
American
shows.
Did you watch the first episode?
Shameless.
One of the people, one of the witches in that episode has screwing to death. That's her freaking power.
But here's
she screws people and they die.
But here's the thing.
It's weird.
That reminds me of a sci-fi.
I thought that was called an STD.
No, this is immediate STD, dude. This is the fastest working STD you've ever seen.
It's a magic STD.
It's a magic STD.
It's super clap.
Okay. Yeah, it's super clap, man.
But you gotta look at the show as Cable versus
Exactly.
And that's a good point.
On cable, and that's why the four shows in the miniseries that you refer to are not going to be just on ABC. They're going to move them onto cable. And they have to, I think, to keep it going.
And
people are going to get tired of the cheese and the campiness and that Avengers.
Once upon a time, you've got the Big Bang Theory.
Right.
Even those non-cable shows, I mean, there are far better options out there.
I'm not sure.
Than Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Desperate Housewives, Scandal. Are shows on network TV that S.H.I.E.L.D. could build off
of. But you got to look at it this way. They're going to build it for the kids now.
Yes.
Hang on. And as kids grow, they can move over to the more
adult
features.
You can say that, but my 7-year-old, and since Iron Man 1, has loved every movie that came out in Phase 1.
He's not going to stay 7 forever.
But
he's going.
But I loved him too, as I would.
But you've been into it forever.
I'm the defense. Agents
he hasn't.
It's on a G-rated channel. It's on ABC.
Exactly.
So, it's not AMC.
Yeah.
It's not Showtime.
All right. But there are shows going on those channels.
But they're not on prime time. They're not on when kids
are
awake.
They're after 9 o'clock.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is not after 9 o'clock.
But it could be more than what it is now and still get that G rating.
I think it's worth mentioning, though.
Go ahead.
They're still in the early stages.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
They have potential and they have room to build.
Yeah, this is all premised by that.
It's the kids.
Because episode 4 was awesome.
Forever.
We've all seen a Joss Whedon television show, and they all just kind of start like this. They start with the campy building.
You're right.
They let you think it's a campy. He always lets you think it's kind of a campy show.
Dollhouse, I thought was going to be campy. And it ended epic.
Buffy. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
All right. He starts with the fluff to get you in, to get everybody in.
He makes
and
us like
all
characters. And
then he starts twisting your hand.
It's a slaughterhouse.
Now, don't get me wrong. I like most of what Joss Whedon does, overrated.
I didn't get into Dollhouse. Really?
I love Dollhouse.
I liked Buffy, but I liked it because it was so bad. It was.
Don't look at me with a straight face. You didn't like Firefly.
Yeah.
No, I love Firefly. Here's the big difference.
Astonishing X-Men.
All right. No. Hold on.
Astonishing X-Men.
You've got Firefly. He was allowed to do whatever. They're like, Angel and Buffy are doing so good. Here, we're going to throw some money. Come up with something else.
Okay.
All right.
Are you saying that's not happening in S.H.I.E.L.D.?
No.
After the $1 billion.
No, it is not happening.
I don't think so.
You've got to launch these movies.
You've got to do this. He's not going to have free reign in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I think he has it now. He's the top executive producer. He's top creator and top writer. What other part is going to get in there and screw that up so his entire influence isn't that show?
Okay.
Who else?
No. Disney.
Well, after Disney, the Avengers makes $1 billion
Disney.
And they jerked him off so he'd come back for Avengers 2? They had to jerk him off to come back to Avengers 2. He said he didn't want to do it.
And now he's doing 3.
The power they gave him.
Disney gets a bad rap, but they're pretty good about not messing with the things they buy.
Exactly.
In charge. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, I've at first, like, you know, like everyone, Disney, it's like, oh no, Disney, don't touch Marvel, don't touch it. And then it's like,
I'm not saying they're
going to
screw it up. I'm just going to say, and he's going to be
then
forced
really
to introduce certain things that aren't
going to
necessarily fit with his story flow.
But in what kind of time frame, though, are you talking about? The record-breaking first episode, the record-breaking DVR second episode, that, and then the third episode that allowed 22 episodes for the first season? Yeah. At what point does it get bad enough? Because those first three episodes were shit. Damn. They were bad.
And people are going to watch it.
The dialogue was bad. The characters'
Marvel,
acting was bad.
You know,
the campiness
yeah.
was terrible.
But, like, they're trying
to... I know, I understand.
They're trying to get people
who are not us.
Yeah.
Right.
Not only that.
That's aimed at an audience that we don't understand.
What I'm saying is, if I'm a Disney exec... Yeah. And you give me those first three episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I give you the middle finger and I say, go back to the drawing board. But no, they came out, even though they were shit, they came out, people watched them, everyone was like, all right, Joss Whedon, you're the man, here's 22 more episodes. Yeah. I don't see at any point them saying, okay, we weren't wrong about the first three episodes, but now 27 episodes in,
we're wrong. No.
You know what I mean?
It's not 22 more episodes.
It's 24 episodes.
24 total episodes in the season.
So 21 more episodes after the third episode. Right. That was
They had already made
that decision way before.
They had already bought 13 episodes.
Yeah, they bought 13.
So that's a half season.
Yeah.
So they're like, okay, we're going to go ahead and pick up the back half.
Yes.
Which is 9 more episodes.
Yes.
All right. So they just... committed to not canceling it mid-season.
But they haven't.
That's essentially
what they. But they didn't go in and change anything.
Okay.
Are you telling me that the Disney executives saw those first three episodes and were like, "All right, perfect. We're not going to touch a thing." Or did they go in there saying, "Joss Whedon, since you made a billion bucks,
okay,
Avengers, here you
go." I don't even think they watched the TV show. They're just like
waiting for the numbers.
Okay, yeah, we got you're hitting the numbers. I don't care. Do this, but okay, about halfway season, we got this movie with a character nobody's heard of.
If I'm a Disney executive. If I'm watching that shit, man, and I'm commenting, and I'm telling Joss Whedon, that's bullshit.
Yep. I want to hark back to a prior conversation we had on a different one, also about movies, and I brought up the paperwork, and I forgot to bring it. All right, we were talking about Ant-Man.
Uh-huh.
All right, and you're like, well, it's got Simon Pegg and Nick Frost, Edgar Wright.
I think the only confirmed one is
if you look at Edgar Wright's movies, have had a less and less percentage of return.
But they didn't have the Marvel stamp on it, honestly.
His last Edgar Wright's last three movies lost money.
What movies were they?
The End of the World actually
lost money compared to what it made.
Internationally. No, including America, international.
The whole world.
They lost. I looked it up on IMDb.
No, I believe you.
Hot Fuzz lost money, and whatever else he did lost money.
But Scott Pilgrim?
Scott Pilgrim made money.
The second to last one.
Scott Pilgrim barely made money.
But internationally, including internationally. Okay.
All right, and box office sales. Now, DVD sales, maybe another movie. That's the different story on it. But in the box office, his movies have been a flop, and they've been getting worse and worse and worse.
But here's the thing, and I'm going to go ahead and throw this out there, as we all spoke about how movie theaters are going to the crapper, DVD sales, I think, matter more to companies than they do, because how quick is the turnaround from it being in theaters to DVD and Blu-ray?
Can they care more about that?
Because I bet you Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, and The World's End, and Scott Pilgrim DVD sales will ruin its box office.
I'm pretty sure
last year
was the first year that Blu-ray eclipsed DVD.
Yep.
And it was like 2 years before that where Blu-ray and DVD sales combined were more than actual box office numbers.
Just to hit on that, big screens,
Blu-ray players getting cheaper, and it's only going to get better.
On that same note, Jules, you're right. Scott Pilgrim barely made money in the theaters, but the DVD sales like tripled.
Right. No, that's what I'm saying. It's going to have a DVD.
I'm going to go broke. Even if it's terrible, because we all have that terrible movie we love, Ant-Man's been my favorite character since I was 6 years old. So, I would go watching that movie, buying the DVD, buying the Blu-ray. I don't care. The fact that he gets a movie is the most mind-blowing thing to me.
Well, here's another thing that's happening. With DVD sales, now they're putting in the miniature figures and cars.
There's so much more.
And Blu-ray's even more, man.
And also, here's one of the great lies that was sold to people about Blu-ray players that people don't realize. So many people bought PS3s because it had a Blu-ray player. But people don't realize that it actually downgrades it to DVD quality, then upconverts it back to whatever connection you have.
And the audio is terrible.
So you actually, if you were to watch a Blu-ray player on a Blu-ray on or even a DVD on a DVD player versus a PS3, you're going to get better quality on the DVD player.
On an upscale, a progressive scanning DVD player. Yeah.
Or even your computer, because your computer will automatically upconvert it to the full 720 signal.
It's all about the counters at Disney and everywhere else. They look at all the trends and who their demographics are and everything like that. If it's going to make them money, they know it almost within the pipe.
So
right off the bat.
So Marvel is not only just doing Avengers.
They're going to do more things.
They're doing more things.
They're talking about, and unfortunately, me and Jesse talked about it earlier. How many times are they going to force Blade down our throats?
Yeah, seriously.
Blade is on the list of shows they want to do.
I love Blade. I think Blade works in TV. I like the Blade show.
Are we going to have Wesley?
Jill Wagner? Oh, I love her.
Hey, guys.
Nothing wrong with Blade.
I'm going to throw this out there.
I've watched the animated. I've got the season. I even got the
end done properly.
You know who else they're talking about doing a show? Daredevil would get his own show. Could be a good crime drama.
I would watch that.
Him being Daredevil. Could you see him in court?
See, that would actually probably make a better TV show than it did a movie.
Oh, God.
Yeah, for sure. It'd be a great show.
The director's cut of that movie is good, guys.
Let's throw this out there.
I want to say, a lot of comic book movies that people hate, I actually like because I never read the comic book.
So you have no base, bro.
Yeah, you don't know how bad you're being raped.
You don't know how I feel. You don't know me.
But my pain. Can we all agree that that'd be of all the characters who I think could carry a show, even if you know nothing about
Daredevil has a great plot.
You could do whole episodes in court, and I'd watch it.
Yeah, right. Man, I mean, in those shows, man. I mean, Daredevil and Perry Mason. It could be a Perry Mason with superheroes. That would be superpowers.
The what?
Ironside's coming back out.
Oh yeah, oh, it's out already.
Back to Daredevil. Daredevil lends itself very well to being a gritty crime
lawyer,
as opposed to like a swashbuckling superhero.
I'm going to see Iron Fist on the silver screen or on the big screen.
I would like to see an Iron Fist show.
They've talked about Heroes for Hire appearing in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
They want to do Power Man and Iron Fist together.
I thought that first episode was going to be Power Man. I've heard that they're going to do
at some point in time, because Joss Whedon loves Heroes for Hire.
Who doesn't?
He wants to do where S.H.I.E.L.D. tries to shut down Heroes for Hire, where it's not okay to just use that. Your weapons of mass destruction walking around getting paid to be weapons of mass destruction. I'll be watching. I'm not sure if I will.
Here's the dangerous thing. When it comes to numbers, they're going to have so much return and so much for budget. The question is, if they get all these superpowers for, when do they run out of special effects money?
I think the money will keep coming as long as it's doing well.
If they do the B-side characters of Marvel, there's not a whole lot of major special effects. Look at shows like Fringe.
Look at the first season of Fringe. Very little in the way of special effects. As that show
went, they got more and more special effects into the show,
culminating when they had an entire city under wax or what amber, I mean, that had to have been hard to do. Dude, that last season of that Central Park is covered in metal. They do a lot of...
How much special effects do you need for a strong person?
Iron Fist.
Iron Fist does kung fu, and Luke Cage is just like a guy with tough skin.
All right, I get that.
Luke Cage is awesome. I don't care what's awesome.
But that's the thing. They're going to be selective to do Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and he doesn't say Sweet Christmas.
B-characters.
And that's what Joss Whedon openly established. He wanted to do B-characters.
So what characters do we want to see in these
Marvel
shows?
You know what? I want to see all of the Secret Warriors.
I want to see a Punisher.
I'm just
going to
throw that everyone remembers Jonathan Hickman's Secret Warriors. Yeah. He did it in Mighty Avengers as well. All the B, the soup, the C characters that he made awesome. Eden, Ghost Rider's nephew.
I want a Punisher
Quake.
Show, man.
And it all became
I want a Punisher show all of the old Hulk show where he's traveling around, or A-Team where he's traveling
also,
around helping people.
I further looked
I would
into
dig
it
that so much
sad
because they talked
away,
about it in the Marvel post.
Yes. Sad ending.
They want to do on Netflix a Thomas Jane as the Punisher show.
No,
Thomas Jane
good.
Has been wanting to do Punisher since he did.
Thomas Jane is
so
Punisher. I don't care if it's a movie, the 7 hours.
But
if he's the Punisher, I'm going to watch it.
But that's what I'm saying. They want to do
that
a Punisher
so
show on Netflix.
Hadn't I heard, though, that Thomas, he was self-producing
yeah,
so, that?
Yeah.
He was trying to, but they told
that's
him to cease and desist.
Yeah. But now they
But he's still working with the studio now.
So what do you think Netflix is going to do to the TV industry coming with these original shows, you know,
doing really well.
I mean, like Arrested Development, Orange is
the New
Black.
What's the political show with Kevin Spacey? Oh my God, House of Cards. House of Cards. It's amazing.
But here's the thing, guys.
Somebody will buy them out.
I don't think anybody will buy out Netflix.
No.
I think they're worth too much right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I'm serious. I don't think that there's a successful...
Who picked up Star Wars?
No, true. But I don't think Disney...
But Disney doesn't want to buy them.
Yeah,
they have a contract with
them.
They
want
to
use them.
And they're fine with making money off them
but
and
Disney,
not buying them.
But Disney is that way.
But
I just don't think
it'll
happen. How long until HBO and Showtime and other established cable channels try to do their own Netflix type thing?
Well, they already have HBO Go, Showtime Go.
But can you subscribe to that alone?
No, but HBO is now selling their stuff on the Google Store, iTunes Store. You know, you can buy the episodes. I don't think they need it. And plus, I think HBO and Showtime, those sorts of shows, are so damn good and bring in the audience that they bring in so tightly that I'm going to buy Game of Thrones episode by episode, even though I don't have HBO anymore.
I just bought the season, but that's
right. Well, I want to see it week to week, though.
I just stream them online illegally.
Yeah, there you
Sorry.
Go.
There we go.
Sorry.
No, but
you
don't
condone it.
We don't condone this.
We don't condone this.
It's recorded for all of the
internet. But anyways.
I got friends.
And what's your IP address, sir?
my whole thing is, we're the I want it now generation. We want to know everything before it happens.
Yes.
And Netflix shows all 13 episodes right there. You're not going to be able to watch them all one season.
And I also heard
but they give you that the idea of having that there immediately makes me want to watch more.
I love it.
Netflix is in early talks with Comcast and UVerse to bring their app, the Netflix app, to those cable boxes.
Yeah.
It seems counterproductive to everything cable companies would ever do.
But they're going to have to.
But they're going to have to keep up. Because eventually everything's going to go on demand. Everything.
Through my 360, I can watch Infinity.
Everything.
I can watch anything I want through either my 360 or through is it Comcast.
Yeah.
I can watch anything.
Roku boxes are, what, $80 now?
Yeah.
You can get everything through Roku.
They're one of the best ones out there.
Best. I mean, it's probably better than Apple TV if I had my say.
So you know the word Infinity.
Infinity!
Last week,
all right.
Infinity 4 dropped with Thor on the cover, and I'm like, man, what's Thor? Like, Thor on the cover. Thor's done things. It's cool.
He sure has.
Thor in Infinity 4 was the best thing.
Is that the
Hickman
one? Is that
done.
The one where he says you got to put your hammer away? You
bring
your hammer.
Break it down. He had a quintessential Thor moment.
He did. Yes. Hold on. Spoiler alert for anyone who isn't reading Infinity, you're fucking up immediately. I can say that.
I'm a year behind.
We're allowed the one.
Go for
it. You're messing up. So in this issue, you see Cap's plan continue to unravel as Cap is saying he's got a plan.
His plan of surrender.
Yeah.
Planning of surrender. And he's like, you literally see the Imperial Guards ask Cap, do you think you really sent your best man to negotiate with the builders?
I sent my best negotiator.
I sent my best negotiator. And come on, guys. We all know how ridiculous that is.
But I don't think of Thor as a negotiator.
Exactly.
No one does. Because he walks out of the ship.
He can't.
And it's like, whoa, get rid of the hammer, buddy. Okay.
And he throws it in his face. Yeah. So the builder's like, you got to get rid of the hammer. So he throws the hammer.
Yeah.
And he talks to the builder about surrendering.
He punks out the builder.
And he punks out the builder because the builder says, now kneel.
The builder's all high and mighty.
I don't know about you guys. I freaked out.
He back slaps Thor.
He big slaps Thor. I mean, literally, Thor's like falling in the panel. Oh,
and this is where the art really shone through because you can kind of see Thor looking like bemused by this little
thing. He knows what's going
on. It was a Thor de force on the art.
Oh my God.
In that issue.
Oh, because it was, what's his name? All right. Opena's art.
Yes.
And Opena's art is gorgeous. So Thor kneels. And I'm like, wow.
I didn't see it.
Thor kneeling. I never thought I'd ever. Loki is asking him to do it. Malachi is asking the God Butcher asking him to do it.
Dad's the only one he ever bowed to.
Exactly. Odin is the only person ever. So for him to kneel to this builder, I'm like, it's over. We lost. Infinity's over.
But you turn the page. All of a sudden, Mjolnir comes back from space through the builder's abdomen.
That was awesome. Opens him up. The Thor holds the hammer and says, we will kneel to no one.
Yeah. And then it's the builder's like, now everyone's going to die. You first. Bam!
And kills him.
But then Thor's like, he rallies the accusers.
And he rallies Ronan.
He does what
Ronan
can't do to his own fucking accusers. It was awesome.
God of fucking thunder.
Can we all just say, the best panel is literally you see Ronan raise his hammer and says, accusers, are you with me?
Yeah.
And then Thor raises the entire Kree Empire.
Dude.
And says, with me.
That was such an awesome speech. He's like, hey, I was looking for some ballsy soldiers who can help me kill more builders. Are there any of them here? I don't see any. They're right here. Bam.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it was great.
I loved it. I love where Infinity's going.
They talked about Thane a little bit in that book.
We saw Thane evolve.
We saw Thane kill everybody in his village.
Literally, there's something. As Attilan falls, and all of a sudden, Inhumans start popping up, and those who are already Inhuman get infected.
Yes.
And Thane, son of Thanos.
Not infected, they go through Terra Genesis
again.
Yeah.
That sucks if you're already Inhuman.
Well, I think he got a lot of the Inhumans away, but that was all part of Black Bolt's plan.
That was all part of it.
He got the Man Builder helping him out.
Blackwell was the only person on Adelan when he blew it up.
Yeah.
So.
And all the Inhumans were not on Earth, but those Inhumans, like Thane, son of Thanos, who was still Inhuman on Earth.
Well, they were Inhumans who didn't go through the process.
No,
the Terra Genesis.
It happened through evolution.
But they suggest in that book that at one point one of these villages did have a little bit of the mist, did have some crystals, and they could only send a certain portion of their population through Terra Genesis only like once every generation.
Yeah, they have to use it sparingly, only for their
That damn book? Where was that Inhumans team that's been on Earth, obviously, since since Kirby built the damn
thing? And I think it'll be in humanity. I don't know.
He built on it a little bit in Fantastic Four when he established this idea that there's multiple Inhuman plans.
Yeah.
But it was cool. You see Thane turn into a more Thanos-like character.
And he has a burning flame.
Yeah, he burns everybody. He burns everybody in his village. And him being a healer, him being like
a healer,
the doctor of the town that he was in, the village. Oh, man. Well, we said at the beginning, if you aren't reading Infinity,
you're reading
backwards.
I'm just behind you.
Also,
read Infinity, bottom line. It's amazing. It's going to be a pretty hardcover.
Best book
collecting Infinity and Avengers and New Avengers is going to be an amazing hardcover.
I'm going to buy that on
the I might buy it too.
I have them all, but I will buy it.
Last week in Infinity, we got to do something that Hickman rarely does and have an actual superhero smackdown fight between Thanos and Black Bolt.
Oh, it was good though, too.
Normally, he glosses over those things, so we actually got like the big six page.
I think he
kind of
had to do that. It cements Thanos as the badass that Thanos is, being able to stand up.
Oh, yeah. And then grabbed him by the throat. Like, just shut up, man.
Oh, dude, that was great. Thanos is a badass. I didn't realize Thanos was that badass.
He literally took... Black Bolt threw everything. By the time they started fighting...
in the man's face.
Black Bolt was so... just blue in the face from screaming.
His clothes are ripped off, but his face is still... Oh, man.
As we all learned, apparently Black Bolt can't take his own blast.
Yeah.
You could tell he was weathered by screaming.
Yeah, his
he
own
was
screams
done.
Were
He was like, oh, man, we got to fight now?
Oh, it was great.
He thought you were going to die. I'm over. And he does. He just gets... Yeah. It's sad to say, in a fight between Thanos and Black Bolt, I thought Black Bolt would win.
Dude, I did too, especially
Why did you think that?
It's easy to forget
Black Bolt got beat by Hulk. And
you
I was
guys
like,
not
no,
remember the
Black
blasphemous I was talking about
earlier? But hold on. I think everyone forgets this, and he doesn't do anything with it lately. But Black Bolt is he's a telepath.
He's got a bunch,
he could get in his mind. Black Bolt is essentially...
I don't think he's like Professor X.
No, because that's how him and Medusa
But I think it's Medusa's powers, though.
No, that's how him and his son. Yeah, because that's how him and Uhura talk, and Uhura has Black Bolt's powers.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, no, they. Well, I thought it was Black Bolt, because he does that with his brother Maximus.
Well, I thought it was Medusa doing it
Because
she can't do it with anyone else, and he doesn't.
Because why would Black Bolt then need a special dimension where all sound is reduced to one monotonic thing if he can communicate telepathically with the Illuminati?
I think he can only do telepathy with family members. It has to be like some.
Well, in that case, then why did he need Medusa in the Fantastic Four or FF or whatever it was? Why did he need Medusa to talk to all of his other wives with him? Remember that?
They just met like 2 days earlier. They had just met like 2 weeks before
Not that. I loved his family. His extended wives, the horse head, and the Atlantis ones, who were like old Atlantis.
Okay.
Great, right. Yeah, let's get off Infinity, because half of the podcast in attendance, the...
We only have a couple minutes, and we'll spend it on the fact that you don't have to just work at Marvel or DC anymore, folks. Charles Soule and Matt Kent worked for both.
Yeah,
the hell let that happen?
Charles Soule's on Superman and Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm. And he's on Thunderbolts.
Epic.
And he's on something else in Marvel.
First issue. He's on Thunderbolts. He's moving over to She-Hulk.
Yep.
On Marvel.
He's on... Green Lantern Corps.
Oh, yeah,
and Matt Kent writes, like, 10 books
for both. It's weird. In the 2000s, there seemed to be a trend of publishers getting exclusive privilege to these creators, you know.
Right.
Bendis wasn't going anywhere, and you knew that as soon as he did a disassembly. You're like, all right, he's not going anywhere. Hickman isn't going to write for DC.
And every media has become more creator-oriented.
Well, that's something that's different, though.
That's part of the YouTube revolution. Shockwaving out, that the creators of the content are becoming more recognized versus, it used to be like, we're the outputters,
but that's,
and the creators are just cogs.
I mean,
you're saying
this,
that's
guys.
The way it used to be.
Yeah,
but in the
2000s,
there were a lot more exclusive contracts with creators.
Right. That's how it used to be. Now, because of stuff like YouTube and so much self-publishing, and so much where the creators can just put their own stuff out there.
Yeah.
They're like, okay, well, we know that they are an important part. It doesn't matter that we can get it out there.
But if they're important,
we're allowing them to have more freedom.
But if their importance is being recognized more so than it was a decade ago, isn't it even more important for DC or Marvel to cinch those guys in to just
their
brand?
They can't anymore. Because they can do it themselves.
What do you mean?
But here's the thing that they put Marvel.
Hold on. If I'm a writer and I've never written for DC or Marvel, and Marvel says, "Hey, we love your shit. Do a book for us." After I do that book, they say, "All right, we want you to work for us exclusively."
10% off.
I'm exploding with joy.
Marvel wants
me to write, maybe I'll get a job after this title's done.
But that's the reason Image exists, because Marvel created that you can only work for us. And writers and artists got upset about that. They could create new characters. And that's the whole reason.
But I think we have to distinguish between writing for the big two and writing for a third party.
Right. But what I'm saying is once that first contract lapsed, once you're established, you don't have to get... You're like, okay, well...
But what he's saying
is right
now, Charles Soule is writing for both Marvel and DC without a contract for either.
Because he's independent, and he said, if you want me, that's the way it's
going to
be.
Bullshit. I don't think so. I think they said, you know what, we're not going to sign you to a contract. You're not that good.
No, here's what I think
good
they did.
Enough, because here's the thing.
Kelly Sue DeConnick's good, too. She's got one book in Marvel.
But that may be her choice.
It may be her choice.
But if you want to stay independent, you have more ability to do that now.
Well, but here's the thing. Hickman
did in the past.
Hickman is exclusive to DC, to Marvel, not DC. But he's still writing his indie stuff.
Yeah.
He's still writing
put it
East
in the contract
West,
that way.
But that's what I'm saying. If Marvel... But why would he sign away writing only for Marvel if he could also write Legion?
Because he may not. He may have won.
Because you know what?
When they offer somebody exclusive rights, they have to pay them better,
too. They have to pay them more.
But he's got... But you're saying... What you're saying is Hickman has exclusive rights to not write for DC, but he does have exclusive rights to write for his other stuff.
Yeah, he can write his own
book.
But
what you're saying is Charles Soule is not good enough, even though both Marvel and DC want him on books. He's not good enough for exclusive.
But he writes... Maybe he does not want to be exclusive.
I don't think he's got a say in it. I think he does. Charles because Soule was writing indie stuff. If you go and sign a contract for Marvel and you're a comic book guy who's always wanted to write for the premier comic book publishers, either DC or Marvel, I don't give a fuck what that contract says. You got my firstborn.
But here's,
I'm writing Thunderbolts, dude. I'm writing...
until that contract's up, and then I'll probably go over to DC or something. You know?
But he's doing that now, though.
See, that's weird.
You know,
I'm saying is I wouldn't want my talent writing for my main competition.
But
that's
true.
What I wouldn't want.
True.
Fair enough.
As a business,
but,
you're right.
So why would Marvel not sign him?
Because
but
you know
here's
what?
The thing.
They did it to Hickman.
He made
it. People aren't
nearly as loyal.
Screw you all the big guys who declined to write my books.
People aren't nearly as loyal to one brand.
Yeah.
They're not. The thing is, comic book readers have become more loyal to the writers and artists than they are the characters anymore.
Exactly. So why would Marvel risk Charles Soule also writing Green Lantern?
Because
then they're going, oh, Charles Soule, I love him on Thunderbolts. Let me go buy your competitor's book.
But here's the thing, because now all of a sudden Marvel, who I think started it actually, was just like, now they don't look like the Nazis that they were in the 90s.
Nah, I don't think
now
that matters.
I think it does to them.
That's to sales. That's their bottom line.
And they're killing them in sales, so they're like, yeah, I don't care.
Oh, okay.
Right, that's a valid point. That's a valid point.
Market
share for like 30 years.
I think it's the FU to DC. Yeah, they can write for both.
Okay.
But we don't care. That's not going to
I just want Hickman on the Legion.
Here's another point. Comic sales are not through the roof.
No, not overall.
So if both companies figure out.
Oh, okay. I know you're going.
Make money sharing to an extent.
If we can make money building up Charles Soule's name,
yeah, and then
kids will go from this one
to
this one. You get into Marvel or DC, they may go.
Maybe we'll get a Marvel DC crossover, man.
Again,
soon.
That's much better drawn.
I wish.
I don't want it.
I want one.
And on that note, folks, we're done.
Are we good?
Well, there is one thing that we didn't cover that has become traditional.
Good night,
Elaine.
I hate all of you. I hate all of you guys with a passion.
I didn't do anything.
Say it real fast. Say it real fast.
Okay. That's it. It's over.
Wonder Woman Superman was actually good.
For,
are we still going?
No. Oh, okay. We're about to
and also Superman.
Superman Wonder Woman was great. Go get it. He was who we talked about.
I read
about.
A book
He's
called
great.
Multiple Warheads. It was complete dreck.
Focus.
No good.
You don't like Kate Slary? We Superman Wonder Woman.
Okay.
You know.